Okay. Good afternoon, everybody. We mentioned the other day, several times, that there is a machlokes between the Rambam and the Baal HaTosfos regarding the Tosfos Zayin Amud Aleph. The last line in the Tosfos says the last line and a half, and the last Tosfos. In Psalm Dav Zayin Amud Aleph, and Tedo Shari Bicha Seres Anein Mevarach Ala Achar Eresin. According to Tosfos, it's a double portion that Bicha Seres Anein is recited after the Chosin says Hariyat. The Rambam doesn't agree. The Rambam says Bicha Seres Anein must be recited over Lasi Yosam, and if the Chosin already gave the ring and said Hariyat, then Masha Nasa Kfar Nasa means that's fallen, and it's too late. You cannot say the bracha lachar asi asam. This is the Rambam sheet in general, that a bichas hamitzah cannot be recited lachar asi asam, even midyevet. That was machlekes to shach, and Yeridayasim and Yutes pointed out as machlekes the Rambam and the Ozarua, where the midyevet can a person recite the bichas hamitzah lachar asi asam. If he's still wearing the talis, he's still wearing the tefillin, that's over lasi asam. He's still wearing it, so that's over lasi asam. But would mean if he took off the tefillin and immediately after he takes it off, he realized if he didn't say a bracha because he put on the tefillin so early, it was before Mishayakir. Mishayakir was chaver berichik dal aramis. So the Azura says b'yevid you can say the bracha lachar asi asam. It doesn't mean 5 hours later. It means right after he take off the tefillin, right after he take off the talis, he realized if he got to say the bracha soon after. So then it relates back to the mitzvah. And Rambam holds that so that's number one. The Rambam holds that Masha Nasa Kvar Nasa, you already when Mekadosh the Yisha, it's too late to say Birchas Harisen. And number two, the big Chiddush that the Rambam says the Chiddush is that Birchas Harisen is a Birchas HaMitzvah. If we would have recited the Nusach HaKadoshana, the Mitzvah, so it's the one Kaddish as the Yisha, the Ozarua quotes that the worst number who had that practice, that that was the Nusach that they said. But we don't cite that bracha. We have a long, the Rishonim used to say, in addition to what we call the Birchas Harisen. We say, a long nusach. So it doesn't really sound like a Birchas HaMitzvah. So that's what the Baalei HaTosfos are of. Baalei HaTosfos in the Rosh. The Rosh represents usually the sheet of the Baalei HaTosfos. There were yeshivas in Europe centuries ago where they learned Gemara, Rashi, and Rosh. They didn't learn Tosfos. Because Tosfos has all kinds of pilpulim, back and forth, back and forth. The Rosh gives you the maskana of the Baalei HaTosfos. He gives you the main rayas, and he gives you the maskanas. But even our practices, we do learn Gemara, Rashi, and Tosfos, but it's a good idea to look in the Rosh. The Rosh gives you the final maskana of the Baalei HaTosfos. So the Baalei HaTosfos hold it's a dover poshchas eris and it's not a bichas hamitzvah that it should be required over lasi asam. It's a bichas shevach, a bichas shevach. That's what the Rabbeinu Tam argues with the Rashbam. Rashbam was the older brother of the Rabbeinu Tam. They were grandchildren of Rashi. Rashbam used to learn with Rashi and he quotes Rashi very often. And he usually doesn't disagree with Rashi, because he learned with Rashi. And the Rabbeinu Tam was a little child when Rashi passed away. He was very young. He didn't learn with Rashi. So he finds it freer. By him, it's easier to take the liberty of disagreeing with Rashi and changing a girsa and so on. So the Rabbeinu Tam states on Zayin Amud Aleph that the Brocha Lach Nisa B'Bisa Shal Avraham Avinu is recited Lacher. After the bris milah, the moel says the bracha ala milah shekedushana b'mitzvah tzivano ala milah kedushana b'mitzvah tzivano. That's a bichas hamitzvah, and the brachas have to be recited over lasi. But the bracha lachnisa b'bistos Avraham Avinu Rabbeinu Tam holds is said lachar asi asim because it's a bichas shevach v'hodor bichas shevach is always recited lachar asi asim when you hear the thunder, when you see the lightning. When you see a handsome person, when you see a beautiful mountain, when you see an ocean, something, a Mediterranean, whenever Bichas Hariyah, Araya Bichas Araya, when you see the Chama Lavana Bechidusha. So these are all Bichas Shevach Vahidos. So Bichas Shevach is always recited Lachar Asiyas. It's not recited Roy Bel Asiyas. So that's what the Rabbeinu Tam says. The Bichas Erisin is a Bichas Shevach. Bichas Lachnis Bisal Shalavim is to emphasize we're not really the bracha. Lo azos anasa achshav mevorach. Ene bracha lamila. We're saying the bichu shavuch v'hodoyu. M'shabech amod al hakadosh baruch hu shetzivanu al hamila kishetol liyado. We're not saying about this mila. We took no account the galus to demonstrate shezom mila nasa l'shem yotzreinu v'lo l'shem avod zarah. Some religions maybe will perform circumcision. The shame of it is our. We're saying it bicha shevach v'hidoya that we're doing it not the shame of it is our. Lo the shame morna, not for health purposes. Morna is a worm. Lo the shame hagrizim, the tzedukim, the kusim used to worship Abba the Zohar and hagrizim. So it was a different branch of the Jewish religion. So that's what Tosfos says, that it's a bichas. Shevach means we thank HaKadosh Baruch that he did something for us. Let's say a rich uncle died and he left me a big Yerusha. So if I'm the only one who got the Yerusha, so I say a bracha shechiyono. If I share the Yerusha with other people, then I say hatov ha-meitiv. Whenever it's a hatov that's shared by other people, you say hatov ha-meitiv. So that's hoidoya. Hoidoya means I thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he was kind to me. Shevach means when there's thunder, lightning, it doesn't help me, just it shows gvurosav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's bicha shevach. So it's not really the same. Bicha shevach vahidoya is not the same thing. There's a bicha sanenen, then there's a bicha samitzvah, and then there's a bichas shevach, and then there's a bichas haidah. What they both have in common, shevach vahidah, they're both recited lachar asiyasim. So that's what Tosfos is of the opinion, that the bichas erisin is not at all a bichas hamitzvah. It's v'harayah de lachar asiyasim. Why do we say the bracha before? Because the Rambam's opinion is that it's a bichas hamitzvah, and if you won't say it over l'asiyasim, you lose your opportunity to say it. And according to Tosfos, true, it's a bichas shevach should really be recited l'achar asiyasim. But yeah, if you recite the bichas seris in such a way, that will satisfy both opinions. So that's why we chose to say the bichas seris before the chasen says hariyah. But if by mistake, the rabbi performing the marriage ceremony forgot to say the Birchas Erisin before, then we say he can say the Birchas Erisin afterwards, because we really paskan like this. How do we know? As I mentioned the other day, that there's a Sefer Afike Yam. It was written by a Talmid Chacham about 100 years ago, soon after the First World War. He quotes Rav Chaim a lot. He spoke to Rav Chaim. He quotes the Or Sameach. He quotes a lot of contemporaries of his. And he quotes Reb Simcha Zelig, who was the Dayan of Brisk. He was the Dayan both. Reb Chaim took him as a Dayan of Brisk. He had learned in Volozhin. And he was famous. He had Hairos on every page in Stokim, on every page in the Shulchan Aruch. He was known as a biggest away. He was a Dayan by Rabbi Elbel Soloveitchik also, till I think he was probably killed by the Nazis, till the middle of the war when he was killed, I think so. So he quotes Reb Simcha Zelig, who pointed out that we have the practice, we will recite Birchas Erisin even if the Chas and Kala are both sworn communists, atheists, they don't believe in anything. So how can I say a bracha? If he says it's a Birchas HaMitzvah, then who does the mitzvah? The Chasin. The Chasin has the mitzvah Pirim Rivya. There's a Machlokes Satanoim in the Mishnah in the end of Perek HaVol Yevimta, in the middle of Yevamos, where the women are mechuyevim piribiribi. So we paskan, they're not mechuyevim piribiribi. The Pashta says, even according to the Rambam, that they're two separate mitzvahs. One is lisa isha b'ksuba b'kiddushin, and one is lifras v'libras. The Pashto says, though, that Lisa should be Sibi Kedushin is to lead up to Pirei B'Rivia. So just like women are exempt, women are potter from the mitzvah of Pirei B'Rivia, so too the women are potter from the mitzvah of getting married. If you look in the old editions of the Sefer Mitzvahs, the Ram gives you a full list of every single mitzvah that the women are potter from. So the two girsas in the Sefer Mitzvahs where the women are potter from this mitzvah of Lisa Isha to get married. But if you read it slowly and carefully, they point out that one of the girsas seems to be incorrect, the other one seems to be more correct, that just like women are potter from the mitzvah of Pirei B'Rivia, so too the potter from the mitzvah of getting married. The Pesachei Tshuva in Eben Ezer has a shaila: can the rabbi recite the Bicha Sevesin on behalf of the Chosen? I think it quotes it from the Nodi Behuda. Can the rabbi recite Bicha Sevesin at a wedding if the Chosen is deaf? So the whole reason, let's say somebody comes to my home late, I invite come to Friday night, and he comes like we're already in the middle of the meal, and the guest doesn't know how to recite Kiddush. So I can recite Kiddush to be Motzi him. That's called Yotza Motzi. If I myself am being Yotza Kiddush for myself, and I have a mind to be Motzi the other person as well, that's called Shomea Ke'ayna. He's paying attention. So just like I am being Yotza with my Kiddush, he's also being Yotza. Shomea Ke'ayna. The one who pays attention is considered as if he had answered Amen. And if he would have answered Amen, Kol Ayin Amen, Kil Hoitzi Bracha Mipiv Dami. It's considered as if he said the Bracha. So the Gemara says that Achidush, not only does it apply, Yotzam Moitzi does not only apply Benigir to the Bracha of Kiddush, and so on, it even applies to the bar piagofen of the Kiddush. Even though I already had wine, I already said bar piagofen, I'm in the middle of the meal, I'm drinking wine in the middle of the meal. I eat the bar piagofen for the other person. You say Yotze Moitzi on the Kiddush and on the bar piagofen. So the same under the chuppah, according to the Rambam, the Birchas Seirusin is really Birchas HaMitzvah, which should really be recited by the Chosen. So why do we have the rabbi recite it? So we mentioned that the Mishnah says in Bikurim that originally the farmers knew how to read the chart. The chart had Arami Abirot and Rosh Tevis. Because you're not permitted, they would have the whole Chumash Dvarim written, okay, but you're going to have a whole Chumash Dvarim there in the Sefer Torah. You're going to have a Chumash Dvarim in the Beis HaMikdash. It doesn't make sense. So they used to have a chart that had Arami Abirabi and Rosh Tevis. So some of the people knew how to be Mefanech, the Rosh Tevis, and many of them didn't know. So the people would travel hours and hours and days to come to the Beis HaMikdash to bring the Bikurim. And then they would be standing on line. So the first couple of people would be able to figure out how to recite Arami Abirabi from the Rosh Tevis. And the others would not be able to figure it out. So they would be embarrassed that they had to have someone else recite Arami Abedavi on their behalf. So the Mishnah records in Mishnayis Bikurim, Nimnu Melohavi. A lot of the farmers stopped bringing the Bikurim to the Beis HaMikdash. I'm going to travel so many hours and so many days in order to be humiliated because I want to do a mitzvah. Someone else has to recite Arami Abedavi on my behalf. So they made a takana that no one should say his own Arami Abedavi. You always have someone else recite it on your behalf. So that's the reason why by chasana, we don't allow any of the chasanim to recite the Bircha Sevesen on their own. We have the Mesad Kedushin, says the Bracha per everybody. Even if the chasan is a learned individual, even if he learned in yeshivas and he knows how to read, even if he knows the Bracha by heart, still, we don't, unless it's the rabbi himself. Let's say the rabbi is single, and he always performs the marriages for all the people in his congregation. Then he gets married. The boss can recite Birchas Erisin on his behalf. Like we usually assume that's the same reason why we have the institution of a Baal Kori. Because Bizman HaGemara, the one who got the aliyah, had to lay in his own aliyah. So some of the people did know how to learn, so they would kill the whole aliyah. They would make mistakes in the pronunciation, and make mistakes in the trap. And people would correct them, so they would be embarrassed. So then you had to have some people would lay their own aliyah, other people you would have to have a shalola vayeshes mishen yadeya, not to embarrass anybody. So they instituted sometime in the days of the Gaonim, it seems, they instituted that we have a Bakari lane for everybody. So, but the Bakari himself once in a while gets his own aliyah, he gets the terechachem. So he doesn't have to have another Bakari lane on his behalf. So this takana that the person shouldn't lane for himself, just like we say by the rabbi, he can say his own birchas eris and the teichachai. Rav Soloveitchik thought that the minhag is that only the balkari only gets the teichachai. He understood the Ramah that it's not proper the balkari should get any other aliyah, because that's the minhag. He never allowed the person who's getting the aliyah to lane for himself. And others thought that it's not correct. That just like when the rabbi is getting married, he can say the Birchas Harrison for himself. So if the Bakari gets any other aliyah, he can lay for himself. Not only the Techechas. So that's a detailed question. How far you go with the minhag. Many Rabbanim, the old time Rabbanim, the Europeans used to have a practice. They wouldn't have the chosin say on his own, Harei at Mekodesh Asli. They would say after me, Harei, Harei, at Mekodesh Asli. They would tell them in advance how to say Harat Mekodesh Asli instead of everybody saying on their own. Also, Kadesh Lalabayesh is Mishani Yadea. So there is a Chula Sefer that was written by Rabbi Breisch from Switzerland, Rabbi Yaakov Breisch. I think the name of the Chula is Chalkas Yaakov. Someone mentioned their name the other day. Chula is Chalkas Yaakov. He discusses, let's say, sometimes it comes up in recent years that all the boys and all the girls go to spend a year or two or three in Eretz Yisrael in between high school and college. So there's a machlokes between the chosin and the kala who should be Mesadik Kiddushin. So the chosin wants his Rosh Hashiva to be Mesadik Kiddushin, and the kala wants her Rosh Hashiva. She also learned in the cemetery. She wants her Rosh Hashiva to be Mesadik Kiddushin. So who has the right to pick, the chosin or the kala? Or maybe neither. Maybe you should really pick whoever would be acceptable to the majority of the people who are attending the wedding. So the Chalkas Yaakov talks about that. So he says, the Nadi Bihuda quoted by the Pesachet Shuva had a suffix if the chosin is deaf and he can't hear. So the Masada Kedushin is going to say the Birchas Harrison to be Moitzi the chosin. According to the Rambam, the Birchas Harrison is really a Birchas HaMitzvah should have been recited by the chosin. So the fact that the Masada Kedushin says it is based on Yatza Moitzi. Tzadik Kedushin got married many years ago. He's marrying off his grandchildren already. So it's the fact that he can recite the Birchas Harrison on behalf of the Chosin, according to the Rambam, that the Bracha of Birchas Harrison, the Birchas HaMitzvah, should really be recited by the Chosin. So that's based on Yotza Moitzi. So Yotza Moitzi is only if he's Shomer Koina, if the Chosin is able to hear, if he's deaf. You can't say the Bracha for the Chosin. So the Nadi Bihud had a suffix. The Kala doesn't have an obligation to get married, but Lemaisa, she is getting married. Those were the two girsas in the Rambam and the Sefer HaMitzvahs. The more correct girsa is that women are not mechuyev, just like women are not obligated in the mitzvah of Pirei Berivya, so too the women are not obligated in the mitzvah of getting married. Lisa Isha Biksuba Likidushin. But Lemaisa, she is getting married, so we follow the Rabbin and Tom's practice that if a woman shakes a lulav, she does say a bracha. If a woman listens to Tkiya Shofar, she does say a bracha to Shema Kol Shofar. So maybe over here, even though women are not mechuyev to get married, but Lamaisa, she's getting married and she's not deaf. So if the chosin is deaf and the kala is not deaf, so the Nadi Yehuda has a suffix, can you say Yotza Moitzi? Can I say, you see, let's say a woman wants to hear Tkiya Shofar. So I'm the Baal Tekeh, I'm going to blow only for a woman. Can I say the bracha on behalf of the woman? The whole idea of Yotza Moisi is called Yisol Arev Mzeh Bzeh. Since the other person is Mechuyev to hit Kiya Shofar, he doesn't know how to blow Shofar on his own. So even though I was Yotzi, Mishenim Mechuyev B'dover, and Motzi HaSarabim M'dei Chayvos, and I'm no longer Mechuyev B'dover, because I already heard Kiyas and Shul. I was the Baal Tekeh Shul. I was yet, but I go to the hospital or to the old age home. I go to my grandma and I blow shofar. Shaila is the women, strictly speaking, are not mechuyev to hit kiyah. It's a mitzvah says shas ma grama. So can a man blow shofar, the man who was already yotzei, can he blow shofar a second time? Can you say he's called mechuyev bedavar mitam arvus? There's no arvus for a woman with respect to the mitzvah of tkiya shofar, because the women are not mechuyev tkiya shofar. So how can you say yotzei moitzi? That's a question. That's a question. But that's the common practice that the Baal Tekeh does go, and he blows for the women later on. But does he say the bracha also? Yeah. If there's a man who didn't get tkiyas shofar yet, so not only would we allow the Baal Tekeh to blow shofar on his behalf, we would allow the Baal Tekeh to say the bracha, the two brachas. Lishma kol shofar and shachyon, and we would allow the Baal Tekeh to recite the two brachas on behalf of the man. We don't allow the Baal Tekeh to say that bracha on behalf of the woman. So that's questionable. The Rebbe Yehuda had the Pischei Tshuva and Eben Ezra, maybe it's Simon Mem or so, I'm not sure, quotes this Rebbe Yehuda out of Sofik. If the chosen is deaf, can the Rebbe Yehuda is working on the assumption like the Rambam, the Bichas Eris and the Bichas HaMitzvah, can the Masada Kedushin recite the bracha? He can say on behalf of the chosen, because the chosen is Enesh HaMeah. So can he say on behalf of the Kala? He's not sure. He's not sure. So the Chalkas Yaakov says, according to the first side in the Nadi Bihuda, that the bracha is on us. And so if there's an argument between the Chassan and the Kala, whose Rosh Hashiva should be Masada Kiddushin, she wants her Rosh Hashiva from her seminary. He wants his Rosh Hashiva from the yeshiva that he learned in Eretz Yisrael. So then the bracha is recited on behalf of the Chassan. So the Chassan has the right to pick who should be Motzi him with the bracha. If you hold like the second side in the bracha relates to the kala as well, so then the Chelkas Yaakov suggests maybe they should both decide. They have to figure out a pshar. They should both decide who should say the bracha. I remember I was once at a wedding, and they split Seder Kiddushin. So Rabbaron Lichtenstein came in specially from Eretz Yisrael, because the one who was getting married was a big supporter of the yeshiva and Etzion. So he traveled in just to say the Bar Piagofen, the first bracha of the Seder Kiddushin. And then the Mechaber, the local Orthodox rabbi, with the second bracha, Asher Kiddushanu v'tzivanu al harayos. That was strange. I remember that was when Shlomo Zalman Auerbach passed away. So Julie Berman picked up Rabbi Lichtenstein from the airport, and he told him that while he was on the plane, for 10 hours he was on the plane, Rabbi Shlomo Zalman passed away. So Rabban Lichtenstein was in a very sad mood at that time, because he had great respect for Rabbi Shlomo Zalman. So he came to the wedding, he just said the Birchas Bar Piagofen, and then be good. So the Nadi Behuda has a suffix whether the Masada Kiddushin can say the bracha if the chosen is deaf on behalf of the kala or not. So again, so the Chalkas Yaakov, right? And it's an entertaining tshuva. He says if the bracha only belongs to the chosen, Birchas Harrison, because he's performing the mitzvah of getting married, kala is not mechuyev in that mitzvah. So then the sole right to pick who's going to say the bracha to be motzi the chosen has to decide who should be motzi him. If he said the second side, then the beauty is suffix that the bracha can be recited on here from the kala, even if the chosen is there. That is not really the chosen of the kala. And in the Sefer Afike Yam, he quotes Rab Simcha Zelig, says that that's how we hold the halacha, because he says we are often Masada Kiddushin for chosen kala, both communists. They don't believe Hashem Elokeinu Kidshanu V'tzivanu. They don't believe in anything. So what am I saying? A bracha to be moitzi the chosen kala. They're non-believers. So the answer is the bracha is not recited for them. They don't believe in the religion, but still, when he marries the girl, he knows that he's creating Kiddushin, that there is an institution of marriage. Even the Goyim realized the secular government is goyist to such a thing as an institution of marriage. So getting married, so So we're reciting a bracha. It's a bicha shavach v'hadoi. Tosfos said that's why Tosfos recommends the bicha erison should be recited lachar erison, not before, because it's not a bicha samitzvah at all. It's a bicha shavach v'hadoi. So if so, then who is mechuyev to recite the bracha? All of the participants in the wedding, all the guests are mechuyev. So you have to sort of take a poll to figure out whom would most of the people attending the wedding think should be recite a kiddushin. Most of the people would think the local Orthodox rabbi. They don't know his Rosh Yeshiva from Eretz Yisrael. They don't know her Rosh Yeshiva from her seminary in Eretz Yisrael. They know the local Orthodox rabbi. So that's really, and that's where Rav Simcha Zelig said, that's how we paskin, bottom line. We really paskin like this, is we are machmer, we're mahader, to recite Birchas Erison before the Chosn says Harayat, to satisfy the Rambam also, that's lechumer, but mikra din, we really don't hold like that. Mikra din, we really hold like this, is that the Birchas Erison is a Birchas Erison yesterday in the middle of a min of Tfilas Ager. So the Gemara says, what's this? The last parakrochis. I think in Tosefta there are only six brokim in brokis in the Mishnah. Brokis is an exception to the rule, has fewer brokim. So in the sixth parak, I think the last parak in brokis in Tosefta, you have this line. And the Gemara says, Chutz min atvila. Why is Chutz min atvila? Gemara says, because Akate Gabra Lachazi. What does that mean? So Tosis on Zion on base, Al Hatvila, Tosis also by calling Rabbein Hananel, that it means Tvila Sager. That the Ger can't say a bracha over Lasiosim. He doesn't have Kedushas Yisrael. Can't say Ashe Kedushana be mitzvah Yisrael Tzibar. He has to wait till after his Tevil and the Mikveh. And then he's, now he's Jewish, so then he's able to recite the bracha. So Rav Soloveitchik told us the following story. He only participated once in his life in a gerus. There was a religious couple in Boston, and the husband had smicha, so they adopted a baby girl. So Rav Soloveitchik participated in the gerus. So in the middle, when they were matbil the baby girl in the mikveh, a shaila. He didn't think it out in advance. He said, on the spot, her who's an adult always recites the bracha top of mitzvah tzivano. Here, the baby's an infant. The baby's a little baby. It's not shach that the baby should say a bracha. Rav Soloveitchik assumed that one of the members of the Bezdin is going to recite the bracha ala tvila. So he was wondering, the members of the Bezdin are Jewish. So maybe the Me'ikar Adin, even the Ger, ought to recite the Bracha Eva Lasi Asim, but he's not Jewish, so he can't. So we say, Akat Tigabla Chazi. So they have no choice. The Ger says the Bracha Tabla after the Ger is his Chala already, because he already had the Kabbalah Mitzvahs, and already had the Milah, and now the tefillah in the mikvah is the clinch. But what if the Ben is saying that? So then maybe the Bezdin should recite the bracha over last Yassam. On the spur of the moment, he thought maybe not so. Maybe since the Chachamim realized that a normal year is an adult, will not be able to recite the bracha over Yassam. So maybe that's a tvila for the ger alois. Instead of making a bracha on the ma'isa hamitzvah and having an oyv alasiyas, maybe bedaket should be a bracha an halos. What do you mean a bracha an halos?
We can hear you again.
No. Oh, now it's okay.
Yeah, but they don't hear you. Do they hear you?
Should we call you?
No, they'll hear me. Instead? Okay, thank you. Yeah, I think they can hear me. So the common practices like the Rabbeinu Tam put on the Oh, yeah, then he said, Laniach Tefillin. Then he puts on the Sharosh. So Yomi says one additional bracha on the Sharosh. Longer can only relate to the Shalyat, but the Sharosh, because the person was mapsik in between, he spoke in between. So then he has to say both brachas. He has to repeat the bracha, Laniach Tefillin, and then he says also on mitzvah. So why do you say two brachas on one mitzvah? What is that all about? Well, let's say when you have a bris milah. So you also say two brachas, the last daf and perek of lezer the milah. Masech HaShabbos, there are 24 prokim. So one whole perek has all the dinim of milah b'Shabbos. The milah on the weekdays has all the dinim of milah. Most of the dinim appear there. Some of the dinim are not a masech, but most of the dinim are there. And Masech HaShabbos and perek of lezer the milah. So in the last Omid base, the very last daf in that perek, so the Gemara quotes a brisa that the moel who's about to perform the brisa says the bracha shekudishanim b'mitzvah with tzivanu ala milah, and then after the brisa is completed, that's what the Rabbeinu Tam says. After the brisa is completed, then you say lachnisa b'brisa shel Avraham Avinu. They quote the Rashbam. Oh, that's a simple reading in the Gemara. So that's a question on that Gemara, the Tosis Rid. The Tosis Rid on the last Omer in Perakab Lezer Miller raises that question, where do you ever find two brachas on one mitzvah? So Rav Soloveitchik used to say, the one bracha l'hanyach tefillin is on the mitzvah of hanachas tefillin shal yad and shal rosh. So if you didn't talk in between shal yad and shal rosh, so the bracha can relate to both. If the person talked in between hanachas shal yad and on Nachon Shal Rosh, then he has to repeat the bracha laniach tefillin. But then the bracha on mitzvahs tefillin, that's apparently a bracha on the chalos. And that chalos apparently is only on Shal Rosh, not on Shal Yad. What if a person only has the Shal Yad? So he only says one bracha laniach tefillin. What if a person only has the Shal Rosh? Then it says in Shulchan Aruch, he says both brachas. It says laniach tefillin and al mitzvahs tefillin. Why? So apparently, the bracha laniach tefillin is the bracha on the ma'isa mitzvah on hanochas tefillin, both on the shal yad and the shal rosh. The bracha on mitzvah tefillin, the additional second bracha that we recite over the shal rosh, apparently there's an added kiyum shal rosh that you don't have in shal yad. Why? The shal rosh is exposed. The Gemara has a comment on the pasuk "Goro kolam meiratzki shem Hashem nikra alech biyarim imekel l'tefillin sheberosh." Because the tefillin sheberosh are megula. Tefillin shal yad are usually mechusa. Kshatim lo sal yadecha, it's usually covered up for it. But mokem, the mokem is usually mechusa over there. You can't. That's what the Mishnah Megillah says. You can't put the tefillin on top of your shirt because the shirt will be a chatzitza in between the tefillin and the arm. You have to put the. You have to roll up the sleeve. You have to roll up the sleeve and have the tefillin directly on the arm. So the Levush says, that's the common practice. The Levush says you have to take the sleeve and cover over the shal yad. The later Achronim say that's against the Gemara. There's no need to actually cover up the shal yad, but the shal yad is an amokim that's usually mechusin. So we have the minute, everybody follows the Levush, even though the Pashtus says that it's against the Gemara. But the shal rosh is supposed to be a megula. So when a person, the Ram, look in the last halacha and the Ramam in Hilchas Tefillin, so the Ramam says when a person wears Tefillin, he becomes a changed person. He becomes a different person, has an effect on him. It's supposed to have an effect on him that he should become more serious, more aware of the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He become a greater Yirei Shamayim. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik used to say, that just like the Rabbeinu Tam says, that the bracha of Lachnisa Debisa Shal Avraham Avinu is a birchas shevach. It's not a birchas hamitzvah. It's not a birchas hamitzvah. It's a birchas hashevach. So what is it, a shevach? Anachalois of the milah. When you do a bris milah, it affects a change in the person. Because the orel is not permitted to eat korban pesach, and a kohen who's an orel is not permitted to eat truma. And a kohen who's an orel is not permitted to be makor of korbanos in the beis hamikdash. Kol benecha erelei ve'erel basa lo yavel mikdashi lusharseni. That's the pasuk in Yecheskel. A kohen who's an erelev means he's not a mammon, he's an apikaris. So Erol Basar, he's an Arol. The Yavel Mikdosh Yedushosein, and they're allowed to be makvel korbanos. A shayla, what the kohen who's an Arol never had a bris milah, is he permitted to duchen or not? Maybe the one who's an Arol has an incomplete kedushas Yisrael, and one who has an incomplete kedushas Yisrael can have the higher level of a kedushas kahuna. In order to be a kohen, you have to first be a full Yisrael, then to be a member of Shevet Levi, and then you can be a kohen on top of that. But if you say an Arol has an incomplete kedushas Yisrael, so then maybe his kedushas kahuna is incomplete, so he can't duchen. That's a shaila in the Mishnah Brura and other achranim. Rav Moshe has a tshuva, but the kohen Arol is permitted to duchen or not? Maybe not. So when you perform a bris milah, so you say two brachas. How come you say two brachas on one mitzvah? That's the Tosfos really asked that question. So that's Rav Soloveitchik thought. The first bracha ala milah is a regular brachas on mitzvah. The second bracha lachnisa brisa shal avraham avinu is a bracha on the chalois, that it affects a change in the person. A person puts a mezuzah on the door, it doesn't affect the change in the person. A person shakes the lulava, eats in the sukkah, does not affect the change in the person. But a person wears tefillin, apparently the rabbin and tam holds it's only on tefillin shal rosh. Apparently he reads the pasuk like this, k'shartam lo'os ha'yadech v'ha'yud ha'tetoviz ben enecha. So the word k'shartam goes on both, k'shartam lo'os ha'yadech v'k'shartam v'ha'yud ha'tetoviz ben enecha. The k'shira, it goes both on shal yad and on shal rosh. So that bracha laniach tefillin, that's the kshira. Kshira means the hiduk, when you tighten it. It doesn't mean you tie the knot every day. We don't tie the knot every day. We do the hiduk. We place the tefillin on our body, on our arm, and on our head, and you do the hiduk, you tighten. So that's what the Gemara calls the kshira. In Chumash, it's called kshira, and the Gemara is called the hiduk, the tightening tefillin. So that's the word ikshartim goes both on shal yad and on shal rosh. Then v'ha'yu, the mitzvah ha'ahavaya, that having the tefillin on has an effect on the person. And the nochrim who will see, v'roh kalat meretz k'shem Hashem nikra lecha, when you and Yisraelim will see, eilu tefillin shav rosh, that someone's wearing tefillin shav rosh, the yorim in Mecca, it'll have a pachet on the Umma Yisraelim, because the wearing the tefillin shav rosh affects a change in the person. That's why the Lubavitcher Rebbe had a whole Niftah HaTfilin. He had a whole campaign that the soldiers in the Israeli army should all wear tefillin. So in order that Baruch, he should have a pachad from the Jewish soldiers. So just like by tefillin, it would appear that the additional bracha, al mitzvah tefillin, is recited on the chalois, so too by the kiddushin, the birchas harisen, is what Tosfos calls it's a bracha on the chalos hakidushim. That's why the rabbin and Tam holds that it's bedavka said lacharasiyosim bichas shevach vahidoyah. Maybe because of the chalos on the person. So Rav Soloveitchik was mistapek in the middle of the geiris. They were matpel this little baby girl. The shame geiris, and he realized maybe the bezin should say the bracha, even though the members of the bezin are all Yisraelim, so they could have said the bracha over lasiyasam, maybe kach tikno chachamim, because the ruba of the game are adults, and the adult can say the bracha over lasiyasam, because that kati gadol chazi is not can say kedushanu b'mitzvah. It's not true yet; he's still in the pre. So maybe they were misakin the bracha ala tefila as a bracha on the chalos hageres, and maybe even if it's a ger katan. Maybe kach tikna chacham that their bracha should be on the chalois hageiros, not on the maisa hamitzvah, but rather on the chalois hageiros. That's what Rav Soloveitchik told us, that he thought b'shas maisa, maybe they should say the bracha after. We looked into it, this Tamidim and the Shir looked into it later on, so we found this Ravid. The Ravid wrote the Sefer Bali HaNefesh, all about the laws of Taras HaMishpoch and Hilchas Mikvois. So he writes about this. When does one recite the bracha? When a tami goes to mikveh, an isha, a married woman, goes to mikveh, does she the bracha? Evel asiyasam, or lachar asiyasam. So it's two opinions in Tosfos, and that's why many have the practice that the women are tovel in the mikveh, then they say a bracha, then tovel a second time. So it's supposed to be evel asiyasam, so it is. because they said the bracha before the second tefillah. It's supposed to be lachar asiyasam, then it is, because they were tefillah the first time. That's what it says in the Shulchan Aruch, that the many women have the practice the tefillah twice, and they say the bracha in between. Yeah, the pashtus is that it's not correct. That once a woman is tevil in the mikveh, she was ready to accomplish anything. So it's not tevil asiyasim. The bracha is going to be lachar asiyasim. But that's many women have that practice. We'll have to talk about that some more. So the Ravid in the Balei HaNefesh talks about this topic. When should the women recite the bracha tevil asiyasim or lachar asiyasim? The topic that Tosfos raises. And he quotes Rabbi Nachman's pshat, that is by Tfilas Hager, Akati Gabel Ochosi. He can't say Kedushana B'mitzos Tzimana because it's not yet true. He's still a Nochri. But he says if it's a Ger Kotem, at Bila Mosa Adaz Bezen, one of the members of the Bezen is going to say the Bracha, so then he can certainly say the Bracha, Eva Lasi Asim, because it really should have been. So the writer doesn't think like Rav Soloveitchik thought on the spur of the moment. So that she thought he didn't have a chance to look it up. And that was the only time he ever participated in a gerus, he said, was that one case where they were the guy ran infant. So the Ravid thinks that the bracha should be recited over Asiyasim in that case. This Vidyesh has a tshuva where he raises the possibility, maybe the only time the Gemara says that a ger says a bracha is if the ger himself is saying a bracha. Maybe if the bezden is matbel a ger kad, maybe there's no bracha at all. Maybe the chachamim would have a mesakan any bracha. He raises that possibility. And then yesterday we mentioned, I'd like to speak about this a little bit. There was a big Hasidish Rebbe years ago wrote the Sefer Bnei Yisoschar. He's known as Bnei Yisoschar because that was his chiddush that you have to pronounce. You have to pronounce the both the sins. We usually assume that it's a kriya ksiv, even though it's written with two shins, you only pronounce one of them. I think there's such a Rashi and Dibra Yamin. But Rashi and Dibra Yamin, they say, is not by Rashi, it's by somebody else. So it's not that reliable. That's a shaila. If something is a kriya ksiv, then when you write a ksiv, but you write a get, you don't write according to the ksiv, you write according to the kri. So if a person's name is Yisachar, and he gets married, so when you write the ksuba, or in case he gets divorced, you write a get, you only write one shin. That's a discussion. So Frank has a tshuva about that. Others talk about that. How do you spell Yisachar and the ksuba or a get? I think the poskim have such a cult. Whenever there's a queen ksiv, the queen ksiv is for Tanakh, but not for a ksuba, not for a get. You write according to the queen, not according to the ksiv. So the Bnei Yisachar was of the opinion you should pronounce the name Yisachar with the both shins. That's why they call, that's not right. He called the Sefer Bnei Yisachar because his Rebbe told him he's from Shevet Yisachar. But we pronounce it Bnei Yisachar because his practice was that he would pronounce it like that during Kriya Sator. So again, so the Bnei Yisachar wrote another Sefer called Derech Pikudecha. We mentioned it the other day. It's a Sefer HaMitzvah, starts with the mitzvah of Pirei Merivya. Then he has the mitzvah of Mila, then he has the mitzvah of Gid Anoshe, then he's Acherush HaZalachem, and it ends in the middle of Mishpatim, 40-some-odd mitzvah, 50-some-odd mitzvahs, middle of Parsha Mishpatim. The Hasidim are not sure whether the Chassidish Rebbe, Rapish Melech Dinever, Psvi Ali Melech Shapiro, whether he never wrote the rest of the Sefer, he wrote it and the manuscript was lost. But Lamaisa, it was only printed till the middle of Parshas Mishpatim. So in the mitzvah, Bris Milah, he talks not only about Bris Milah of Israel, who was born in Israel, he talks about Bris Milah of Eger as well. So he has an interesting suggestion. He says, the Gemara says in Ksubis, and that daf Yud Aleph and Aleph, I think, when the Gemara has the din, Ger Kotem, Ad Bila Masa, Adaz Bezen, based on the principle of Zelch and Liodam Shaloi Befona, we assume that we're doing a teva for the child by being Megayer him and making him into a Yisrael, making him into a Jew. So let's say someone wants to give you a gift of $1 million and you are not here. So I'll say, I'll accept the gift on your behalf, Zelch and Liodam Shaloi Befona. So I accept $1 million. Then we don't get notified a year later. The first moment that you hear about it, you say you don't want the gift, you want to be indebted to that individual. Whatever his money is illegally acquired, the Gemara says, if the instinctive reaction of the Mekabel Matona right away is, I don't want the gift, he breaks up the whole Zochan Adam Shalai B'Fonav. That's the Gemara Chulin on Daf Mem. If he says, okay, and then half an hour later he changed his mind and doesn't want it, so it's too late to back out. He can be mafka the money, but he can't undo the whole kinyan. But if in his instinctive reaction, when he hears about the fact that somebody was zeicha maton on his behalf, if his instinctive reaction is, I don't want it, so then he breaks up the whole zoch. So the Gemara says the same is true regarding ger kotmat bilamosa das bez. And it's based on zochel yadam shloi b'fonav. We assume that it's we're doing a teiva for the child that we're mekayer then. So when the child is now a la bardas, it's an infant. When the child reaches 12, 13 years old, then I understand what it's all about to be a Yehudi, to be mukhiv, to observe mitzvah. So he says at a later time, he says, I'd rather not be Jewish. So he undoes the whole, he's a gloy Muslim. I'm afraid that the whole thing was a mistake and it wasn't chal. So the derech pikudech raises the possibility that maybe the bezin should not recite any bracha at all. When you ger kot matzbil mosad das bezin, it's really a sophic bracha slahakel. It may turn out that when the child in another 12, 13 years, when the boy or the girl will reach maturity, they'll reach gadlus, igdilu yichalim limchas, they can be moichel later and say, we don't want the whole geirus, we'd rather remain anachri, we don't want to be Yehudim. So then it'll come out that the whole geirus was never chal, the whole thing was a mistake in the first place. So since there's such a possibility that the kot may be meicha, so we say sofik bracha is local. So sofik bracha, so you shouldn't say at all the bracha. I think that's the practice in the Rabbinical Council of America has 11 different bati dinim all over the United States of America to perform a geirus. So I think the Manhattan Bezin, I think, has that practice. Whenever it's a ger kotten, they won't recite the bracha because of this svara of the Bnei Yisoschar. And it's safer derech pikudech. We mentioned the other way. The other day, the Mishnah Bura quotes a derech pikudech, one place in the Bir Halacha, regarding brachas. So it could be that no one says a bracha. The infant is a tiny infant, can't say a bracha. And maybe the members of the Bezin shouldn't say a bracha either because it's suffering brachas lahakel. Yeah. Why didn't the Ravid think of that? How come the Ravid thinks that you may say a bracha? And he says one of the members of the Bezin should say the bracha. He didn't realize that it may turn out to be a suffering bracha. It may turn out to be a bracha levatola. So it could well be that this is a machlek, as the Ravid lishitosai, there's a Pnei Yeshua let's go back a little further. There's a Gemara. The Bnei Yeshua and the Gemara, Masech Shabbos and Perek Rabbeis, Perek Abamah Mavlikin. The Gemara has all the dinim of Hadlokas Neiru Shabbos and Hadlokas Neiru Chanukah. Sugi of Chanukah is in Abamah Mavlikin. So the Gemara says there that one recites a bracha even on a mitzvah de Rabbanon. So then the Gemara asks, really, you say a bracha on a mitzvah de Rabbanon, so how come when you mafrish demai, you buy from an Am Ha'aretz, and the Am Ha'aretz claims that he was mafrish trumas and maisers, so we believe him on the truma, but we don't believe him on the maisers. The Gemara said, because the Am Ha'aretz, they're not going to mess around with the truma, because if you eat tevel, on tovel the truma, there's going to be misa b'dei shemaim. So that they know, that they can't fool around with that. But if they did take out truma, they just didn't take out the maaser rishon and the maaser sheni or the maaser ani, so that the Am Ha'aretz thought that there's no misa b'dei shemayim. That's a question whether that is correct or not. So they didn't. They chose not to be mafrish maasers, and we can't believe them. Even if he tells me that he was mafrish, we don't believe him because the Am Ha'aretz were chashudim. Towards the end of the tkufas by sheni, the Gemara says in the end of Soita, the Chachamim introduced this Chumrah of the Mai, that you entrust the Am Ha'aretz on Afrashas Maisris. So when I buy the Mai from an Am Ha'aretz, I have to be Mafrish Maisris. Do I say a bracha when I'm Mafrish the Maisris? The Gemara says no, because Safik Brachas Lahakel. So the Gemara says, well, how come on Yantab Sheni Shal Golias? It's only Sveka Diyayma. How come Yantab Sheni do say a bracha as opposed to on Afrashas Mai, you don't say a bracha? So there's a discussion there, Machlek Zabai Barav and Shaila, how we paskin. So there happens to be the Pnei Yeshua on that Gemara. speaks about a machlokes, the Rambam and the Rabbi. We already spoke about it a little bit, but we're not going to go over it again. So the Pnei Yeshua points out that it seems to be a machlokes, the Rambam and the Rabbi. The Rabbi's opinion is that Sofik Brochas Lahokil is identical with the rule of Sveika Derabbana Lekula. It only applies if the bracha that we're talking about is a bracha derabbana. If it's a bracha deraisa, so that's a person ate kidei sviya and he's a little bit shikir and he doesn't remember if he recited birchas hamazon, or a person is mesupik if he said kiddush, he doesn't remember, or he woke up, he's half asleep, he doesn't remember if he said birchas hatorah in the morning. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes halacha lemaisa from the Shagas Taryeh that we should pass like the Ramban and the Sefer HaMitzvahs that birchas hatorah is deraisa. And a suffix there, I say, we say three brachas in the morning when we wake up. We say, and then we say, we say three brachas. So not all three are there, I say. You only have to say one in order to be able to then there, I say. So the Shagazari has, the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Shagazari, that if a person is half asleep a little bit and he doesn't remember for sure whether he said the Birchas HaTorah when he woke up or not. So he paskins like the Ramban. It could be the Rambam does not disagree with the Ramban. It could be the Rambam also agrees that Birchas HaTorah is the rice. All we know is the Rambam didn't count it as a mitzvah in the Taryag mitzvahs. It could be that he didn't count it because it's not explicit. The Rambam wrote the 14 guiding principles that determine whether any particular obligation belongs in the minyan mitzvahs or not. So one of them is that you only include mitzvahs that are explicit in Chumash, Torah Shebichsav. The whole idea that you have to recite a Birchas HaTorah is only a drosha of the Torah Shebal Peh, even if you'll agree with the Rambam that it's their Isa, but it's not Lefi Pshuto Shal Mikra at all. It's a drosha of the Torah Shebal Peh. Ki Shem Hashem Ekra Havagod L'Lakenu. Shem Hashem Ekra means that I'm learning Torah Havagod L'Lakenu. You should recite Birchas HaTorah. So it could be the Rambam also agrees that Birchas HaTorah is deraisa, but he didn't include it in the minyan mitzvahs because it's not lefi Torah shebichsav, it's not lefi pshuto shel mikra. So the Shagzai himself says, if a person is not sure, he thinks maybe he did recite Birchas HaTorah, maybe not. So he has to say sofik deraisa l'chumra. You don't say sofik brachas l'hakel. If it's a bracha deraisa, you say sofik deraisa l'chumra. But not all three brachas are deraisa. So the Shagazai says, say the last bracha. That's Mu'ula Shebe Brachas. The Gemara, in the end of the first Perek and Bracha, says about the three Brichas Satura, Lasik with the Resor of Harivna, and the last one, Shabbach Manuk, and Nasalan is Terasai. The third one is the most elegant of the three, of all three. So if you're Mesupik, whether you said the Manats, I say Safik Brachas Lahakalan two, and only say over once. I say over the third one. Say over the third one. If the Gemara says the third one is the most elegant. So the Pnei Yeshua in his Sefer on Masechus Shabbos and Perka Bamei Madlikin on the Sugi of Chanukah, where the more talks about Sofik Brachas L'Hakel, he points out that there seems to be a dispute between the Rambam and the Ravid, and we hold like the Rambam, not like the Ravid on this. What's the nature of the din of Sofik Brachas L'Hakel? So the Ravid seems to hold it's identical with the din of Safik Darabana Lakula. It's identical with the din. Safik Darabana Lakula. So would you say Safik Darabana Lakula? Let's say you have a Safik. And the Rav is that the probably are Mukhiv to say a bracha. Or let's say there's a Safik regarding a din Darabanan. The likelihood is that it's really awesome. I have a Safik. The odds are that it's treif, but there's a 10% chance, 10, 20% chance that the food is kosher. So if you have a Rav Leiser, you don't say Safik Darabana Lekula. The same thing, according to the Ravid. Safik Brachas Lahokil, according to the Pnei Yeshua's Pshat and the Ravid, seems to be Posh Pshat and the Ravid, Safik Brachas Lahokil is identical with the rule of Safik Darabana Lekula. So whenever there's a Rav Lechayevis HaBracha, then you should say the Bracha. You don't say Safik Brachas Lahokil. But according to the Rambam, that's what the Migdaloi is on the bottom of the page in the Rambam. Migdaloi quotes a Chuvas HaRambam that he sent to the Chachmei Lunel. Lunel was in Provence, that's in southern France. And they used to have a different Derech Halima there, the Ravid and the Balamor and the Eshkol, the whole group of Rishonim and the Meiri, that a lot of times they had a different Girsa and everything different. So the Chach Mulonel sent a lot of, they had a whole correspondence with the Rambam during the Rambam's lifetime, a whole correspondence regarding different things that the Rambam wrote in the Mishnah Torah as well as in the Sefer HaMitzvos. So the Migdal Eis on the bottom of the page in the Rambam quotes every so often Shuvas HaRambam to the Chach Mulonel. So he quotes that the Rambam said, no, Safik Brachos LaHakel is much more inclusive than Safik Darabonu LaKula. Even though today, Yontav Sheni, the Rambam's opinion happens to be that Yontav Sheni is observed today by Torah Zvadai. It's no longer a Sveika Diyayma, because the Gemara says, Hanan Bikina Bikviya Diyarcha. We already have the calendar printed for the next 1,000 years. At Bias HaGal, we know the whole calendar for the whole future. But because the institution of Yom Tov Sheni started off as a Sveika Diyayma, so we still say Safik Brachos LaHakel on a Yom Tov Sheni. So the Rambam writes Beferish that the klal of Safik Brachos LaHakel is much more inclusive. It starts off as a din of Safik Darabanan LaKula. The rule of Safik Brachos LaHakel does not apply to Kiddush or the Birchas HaMazon when it's deraisa, or to Birchas HaTorah, if you hold Birchas HaTorah is deraisa. But it ends up to be much more inclusive than Safik Darabanan LaKula. Let's say a person buys some pots and pans, forks and knives, and you need tefillos kelim. They buy clay suda from a nochri. So let's say I bought them in a Jewish store. So as far as I know personally, I know the previous owner was a Jew. If the kelim were ever owned by nochri, then you have to, then there's a mitzvah tefillos kelim. If it was never owned by Nachor from the time that they were manufactured, then you don't need tefillos kelim. Tefillos kelim is also like gerus. That's the lashon at the isa the heter. Rabbeinu Yonah Ashkenazi wrote, there was the Rabbeinu Yonah Hasfardi, the Rabbeinu Yonah Ashkenazi. So Rabbeinu Yonah Ashkenazi wrote his sefer isa the heter, and he has a whole section about tefillos kelim. So the Shach and Yeridea quotes this from the isa the heter. They quote the Isa V'Het every other page in Yerideya. They quote the Shulchan Aruch quotes and the Shach quotes. They always quote from the Isa V'Het Ha'orach, Alev Avhei. It's called Isa V'Het Ha'orach by the Rabbeinu Yonah, not to be confused with the Rabbeinu Yonah HaSfardi, is the Rabbeinu Yonah Ashkenazi. He only quotes Rashi's and Tesvus and he never quotes any Sfardi Shevdom. So he says that Tfilas is an act of Gerus on the Kelim, just like there's an Inyan of Gerus on people. So there's an Inyan of Gerus on clay sa'uda, on the forks and the knives and the pots and the pans and so on. So the so if the kelim never belonged to a nachri, then there's no mitzvah tefillas kelim. So if I have a suffix, I don't know, I bought the kelim in a Jewish owned store. The manufacturer, either rov of the manufacturer is a nachri, and rov the middlemen, the dealers, the distributors, the one who bought them from the manufacturer and resells it to the store, rov of them are also nachri. So do you have the right to go baser roiv and to say the kli was probably owned once by a nachri, so therefore I should say a bracha on tefillos kelim? Or do you say, no, it's a suffix bracha local. So Chacham Avadya has a tshuva about that. They have a lot of achrayim have like that. The Stechemet is an encyclopedia that was written around 100 years ago. So the Stechemet has a lot about this. Sofik brachos lahakel, whether you apply Sofik brachos lahakel, what if you have a sveik sveika lachumra? You have a sveik sveika to say that you should say a bracha. Do you still say Sofik brachos lahakel or not? So many poskim say that even if there's a sveik sveika, and even if there's a raif, l'chayev ha-brocha, he still says Safik brachas l'hakel. So when the Gemara in Ksubas Daf Yud Aleph talks about the detail of das bezdin, there's a Rashba when Gemara on the gears of the gear cotton. Michael Edevan, Higdili, Halim Limchais. So I should always consider the cotton till the age of 12 or 13 when he glued Sigdus Lang, any Halim Limchais. Kimish, that's the Gemara there in Smith Afilamas. So until mitzvah, bas mitzvah, I should really treat him as a suffix. And the Gemara says, not so. I treat him as a ger. But there exists the possibility he may be Moshe. He'll undo the whole thing. He'll turn out a gloy Muslim. Afraid he never was a Yisrael. He was always a Nachri. And the Geras was never Chal. So the Rashba explains, there's a Rav. The Rav of the Ketanim who are Megayer, Rav of the Ketanim who are, and this Gairu Midas Bezen will not be Moichen, because they're going to be brought up in a Jewish family. And they were brought up with mitzvahs. They were sent to school. Every so often you hear of a rare case of a Ger Cotton who, when he grew up, he decided he doesn't want the whole thing. But the Ruba of the cases, they're not going to be Moichen later on. So the Rashba interprets a Gemara like this, that the Gemara is assuming like that. So that's the Shaila. The Derech, because Derech raised the possibility that maybe you shouldn't say Brach at all when you're Tevel a Ger Kotten. Why? Because Higdili Chalim Limcha, so it's a Sophic Brachas. What kind of Sophic Brach? But you have a Reif. So it could be that we, who take we follow Chacham Avadya, and those Achranim, even if you have a Reif, you also do not say a Bracha. Because Safik Brachas La'akil starts off as a din of Safik Darabban of Akula, but then it's even more inclusive, more encompassing. Even if you have a raif to say that you should say a bracha, you still treat it like a Safik Brachas La'akil. But the raif at Lushitasa disagrees, because the Pnei Yeshua showed in the Sugya in Bamim Adlikin, Pnei Yeshua Masechel Shabbos, he shows the raif at Shita is that Safik Brachas La'akil is simply another way of saying Sveika Darabban La'akula. And you wouldn't say Sveika Darabban L'kula whenever there's a raif. So here there's a raif that the child probably is not going to be Moicha. Because Ruba, the children are not Moicha later on. So it could be that this raif is Lishitasai. The raif in the Bala Nevish is Lishitasai. What the Pnei Yeshua explained in a different raif. And we wouldn't follow that. We should really follow the Ach Pikudecha. That by a Ger Kotlin, no bracha should be recited at all on the tefillah. Anyway, Rav Soloveitchik, on the spur of the moment, he said, he thought that maybe the bracha should be recited even by Ger Kotten, by the Bezdin, after the tefillah, maybe because Akate Gabriel Achazi, because the Ger cannot recite the bracha in advance. So maybe they were misakin the bracha milach atchila as a bracha on the chalois, so it should always be recited lachar asiyosam. Even in the case of the Ger Kotten, where it's really going to be recited by a member of the Bez. That was the Shana. They have in the biography of Rabbi Zalman Meltzer, Rabbi Zalman learned in Balozhin. He learned by Rab Chaim Soloveitchik. Every so often in his sefer, he wrote the Eben Ha'ozel on the Rambam. Every so often he'll quote Rab Chaim Soloveitchik in his sefer. It's not, it's a different understanding of Rab Chaim. It's a different understanding of Rab Chaim. It's a different style. So he lived in Slutsk. He had a yeshiva in Slutsk. He was the rabbi in Slutsk. And Rabbi Kotler learned by him. He married his daughter. And there used to be a rabbi here in the yeshiva, Rabbi Moshe Aaron Paleev. He also learned by Rabbi Zalman in Slutsk. So then the Issa Zalman decided to move to Eretz Yisrael, and he became the Rosh Yeshiva when he was in Slutsk, he was the rabbi, so he used to pass Kanshalas also. When he moved to Eretz Yisrael, he was no longer in Rabbonis, he didn't pass Kanshalas anymore, and he was only Rosh Yeshiva and Yeshiva Eitz Chaim. So they have in the biographies, they have a two-volume biography about Issa Zalman. It tells a lot of stories about a lot of contemporaries of his, very fascinating stories. So they have there that when he was traveling with his wife there, it's Israel, he told his wife that in Chutz La'aretz, the common practice by the Ashkenazim is that the women recite the bracha, Lahadlik Ner Shal Shabbos, Lachar Asiyosim, after they light the candles. Lachar Asiyosim. Why? Because the Bahag, the Tosis quote, the Bala Lachas Gedolos, the Rishonim quote, Bala Lachas Gedolos was of the opinion that when you madlik Ner Shabbos, it's a Kabbalah Tosef Shabbos Bal Korcha for all the members of the family. Let's say you have a husband and a wife and they have nine children. I had nine children. So when my wife benches Licht, so she was Moitzi all 11 of us. She Moitzi herself and her husband and her nine children. So there's since since Adlokas Haneris says Lakovet Shabbos, and that's Kabbalah to Sefer Shabbos Bal Korcha. And many Rishonim disagree with the Bahag. They say, Mehechadesa, why should you say it like that? Adlokas Haneris is Achana, that's done on Erev Shabbos. Why should it be? The source of the Bahag is the Gemara in Erevin and Daf Mem, where the Gemara raises the question that normally on a Yontef you say Shehechionim. On Pesach, on Shavuos, on Sukkot, on Rosh Hashanah, on Yom Kippur, you say Shechiano. And we always recite Shechiano at the end of the Kiddush. Strictly speaking, you can cite Shechiano. I'm Rafila Bashuk. Zman. That's called Shechiano. Vikiman Vigiano. Zman Azeh. So that's Bichas Hazman. Zman means what we call the Broch of Shechiano. So strictly speaking, Shechiano can be recited even when the person is walking in the street. But the Gemara says if you'll save the Shechiano, and recited at the end of the Kiddush, you will enhance the significance, the chashivas of the bracha, in making it into a bracha lakos, in making it into a toast. You drink a toast to the Rabbanu Shalom Shechiyonu v'kimonu v'giyonu l'azman hazeh. So that's a higher level of a bracha. So the Gemara says, on Pesach Shavuos Sukkos Rosh Hashanah, save the Shechiyonu, say it at the end of the Kiddush, and you enhance the chashivas. What about on Leil Yom Kippur? So you can also take a cup of wine, say Bar Piagofen, and say Shechiyonu. So the Gemara says, no. Once you say Shechiano, it can only be Yotze Shechiano if it is Yom Kippur. You can't say Shechiano on Erev Yom Kippur. So once it's Yom Kippur, you can't take a sip of the wine. And in order to be considered a bracha lakos, in order to enhance the significance, the chashivas of the bracha, to make it into a toast, so you have to drink some of the wine. So you will not succeed on Leil Yom Kippur. So that's why in Shul, right after Kol Nidre, the Chazan says Shechiyonu, and everybody says a long Shechiyonu. You don't say Shechiyonu over a cup of wine. The Gemara asks a question, why not have a young child there who's not going to fast anyway, a long infant who doesn't understand what Yom Kippur is all about? So we'll say Bar Piagofen and Shechiyonu, and we'll give the cup of wine to the cotton. And it's considered Hamavar Sar Shayitim, even though the one who said the bracha didn't take a sip of the wine, as long as some Yehudi takes a sip of the wine. So the Gemara says, no, that's not a smart idea, because the child may remember years later, after his or her bar mitzvah, a bas mitzvah, he may remember that the rabbi gave me a drink of wine on Leil Yom Kippur in connection with the Shechiyonu. So he won't realize he was an infant at the time. So he may think that even after bar mitzvah also, that's what you have to do. You have to say Shechiyonu over a cup of wine. So Gemara says it's a bad chinuch, so therefore you shouldn't. So on Leil Yom Kippur is the one time in the year that we recite Shechiyonu shelo alakos. Rabbi Kiveger on Shulchan Aruch refers you, he quotes the Tshuvas Rabbi Yankov Emden, who complains about the fact that the women have a common practice by many women, most women, probably maybe all the women, most women, when they light neiris for yantav, when they bench licht for yantav, so they say it'll hardly gnesh or yantav, but then they say the broch shachyanu v'kimanu v'gyanu l'azman hazeh. So they're not saying the shachyanu over a cup of wine. So why should they cheat themselves? It's what they want to say their own shachyanu instead of relying on the husband's shachyanu. Yeah, but they're going to say their own shachyanu. It's not going to be ala yayin if they rely on the husband when the husband says kiddush. So then it'll be elevated to a higher level. It'll be considered the shachyanu. It'll be considered a brach ala kos. So that Gemara says that shachyanu can only be recited on Yom Kippur. Once you say shachyanu, that's already Yom Kippur. That's already Yom Kippur. So the Bahag claims the same is true regarding hadlokas neiris. Once you madlok neiris, it's kabbalas to sefer Shabbos for the whole family. The husband, the wife, and all the nine children, everyone is relying on her. Adlokas Haneris. Adlokas Haneris is Kabbalas Tosef Shabbos Bal Korcha. So that, we don't hold like that Bahag. We're not even Machmel Lechatchila for all the other Bnei Abayis. But Lechatchila, we are Choshish for half of the Bahag. Every so often, the Halachas Gedolos. Halachas Gedolos was a Sefer that was written in the Tkufas HaGaonim. We're not sure exactly who wrote it. One version is that it was written by Rabbi Yehuda Igon. And one version is that it was written by Rabbi Shimon Kayora, who lived in Cairo. He lived in the days of the Gaonim. He himself was not a Gaon. Gaon means the name of the yeshiva was Gaon Yankiv, and the head of the yeshiva was Rosh Yeshiva's Gaon Yankiv. So you call him Bekitzer, the Gaon. Today, the word Gaon has a different meaning. Gaon means a genius. We say usually a genius in learning is a Gaon. But in the days of the Gaonim, that was the name of the yeshiva. Yeshiva's Gaon Yankiv, and the Rosh Yeshiva was known as Bekitzer. They called him the Gaon. So because he lived in Tzkubis Hagenim, even if he says something that we don't really understand, we don't think that it's correct, the Tosfos will always say, Kol Dvar Dibrei Kabbalah, he lived in the days of the Gaonim. They had earlier traditions from the days of the Amoraim. Take, for example, the Baha'i comes and he says that if you miss one day of Svira, so you blew it, then you can't continue to be Mekayim the Mitzvah, and that's not because of Tamimos. So Tosfos and all the Rishonim say, there is no such din in the Gemara. What did he make up? Yesh Me'ayin invented a new din from thin air. But we don't want to go against the Baha'i. So whenever one forgot to count the day in Svira, we continue to count, but we leave out the bracha out of respect for the Baha'i. Well, the same thing, the Baha'i came up with the Chiddush Niflo, that even though men and women are both mechuyev and mikra megillah, a woman's chiv is a lower level, and the woman cannot be the Baal Kareh to be moitzi a man. And what if the only one, let's say, the husband is not well, the husband is sick, and the only one who can in is sleep for the day, and you can't get a Baal Kareh to length for him because they don't know when he's going to be awake, when he's going to be sleeping, then the only one who can read the Megillah for him is his wife. So if he really gets stuck, he got no choice. And then we do. We follow the Rishonim who disagree with the Baha'i. But usually we're choshish for the Baha'i's opinion, so we wouldn't allow a woman to read the Megillah for men. In certain areas where they have the open orthodoxy, what they call open orthodox, I don't know exactly what they're open about. So they kick the Baha'i in the behind, and they want to demonstrate that he's dead wrong. So they dafke have a woman read the Megillah to be moitzi the men. And we are more respectful. We are respectful of those opinions that we disagree with. And so we don't say a bracha. If you miss the day in Sfiras HaEmor, we will not say a bracha when we continue to count. And we will usually avoid having a woman read the Megillah. You don't go out of your way to show that he's wrong. We hold that we think that he's wrong. But in Shulchan Aruch, they recommend that a woman should not read the Megillah to be moitzi the men. So the same over here. That what the Baha'i said, that it's a Kabbalah service Shabbos for all the 11 members of the family, that we certainly don't hold like that. We're only choshish l'chatchila for the Baha'i's opinion with respect to the woman who lit the Neiris herself. So we say l'chatchila, the woman should do all the malachas before, and once she benches lich, she shouldn't do any malachas. If it's really a big shas hadchag, then we're mekel, she can say in advance, or have a mind in advance, she's going to be madlik the Neiris, but she's not mekabel Shabbos, not mekabel Yom Tov. Let's say a lot of times the women will bench lich on Erev Yom Kippur, and then they want to drive to shul. So they want to drive to shul, they can't say shachyona when they bench lich. Once you say Shechyonu on Erev Yom Kippur, that's beferish in the Gemara, that everybody agrees. Once you say Shechyonu, it's ready to Sefes Yom Kippur Bal Kochan. You can't make a Tanai. If you only did Hadlokas HaNeris, you didn't say Shechyonu. So that's the Baha'i thought Hadlokas HaNeris is the same as Bircha Shechyonu, and all the Rishonim disagree with them. So here the Ramah has for Ashkenazim, the Mechaber writes that the women should recite the Bracha L'Hadlik Ner Shal Shabbos before they light the Ner Shabbos. The Ramah has a Chumrah. And maybe if the woman will recite the Bracha L'Hadlik Ner Shal Shabbos, that will already be a Tosefes Shabbos. Saying the Bracha, just like saying Shechyonu, makes it into Yom Kippur, even Bal Korcha, maybe the Baha'i will go so far as saying that reciting the Bracha L'Hadlik Ner Shal Shabbos, even before you're about to light the candles, it's already a Tosefes Shabbos. So you're not allowed to light the candles. So that's why the meaning developed, that the women save the bracha till after the hadlaka. And this is only on Shabbos. When there's an Isser, you're not allowed to do a malacha hadlaka saneris. If it's yontif, if the woman is benching licht on yontif, so on yontif you're not allowed to strike a match, that's a mishnah in Beitza. You're not allowed to be molid esh mechodesh on yontif, that most deruba hold that's only midirabbanan, and our Torah doesn't make a difference whether you're striking a match or you're causing something to catch flame from an already existing flame. So on Yom Tov, we're not going to strike a match, we're going to light from an already existing flame, so that's mutar on Yom Tov. So that's what the wife of the Prisha came up with, that chiddush, that the only time the minig is that you say the bracha after you finish on Lokas HaNer, that's on Erev Shabbos. But if you're lighting Neris, the Kavod Yom Tov, so then you may say the bracha in advance because the whole Chumrah doesn't apply on Yom Tov. So the Mogen Avraham quotes this from the wife of the Prisha. The son of the Prisha, the Drisha Prisha, are commentaries on the Torah. printed on the bottom of the page in the Torah. Author of the Prisha Drisha is the same author as the Sma on Chosh Mishpat, the Meir Sinai, the Sefer Meir Sinai. So the son of the Prisha wrote an introduction to his father's Sefer. It's printed in the first volume of the Torah. And he writes not only about his father, he writes a little bit about his mother. His mother was very learned, and she came up with Chidushi Halachis. So he says his mother came up with the Chidush that when you bench Licht for Yontav, you can say the Bracha Ovel Asiyasam, because the whole Chumrah only makes sense on Shabbos. And the Magen Avraham quotes this from the Hakdamah to the Prisha written by the son, who he's writing about his mother. Some people don't look up in the original, so they think that it's the mother of the Prisha. Is that the mother of the Prisha? The introduction to the Prisha was written by the son. When he talks about my mother, he means the wife of the Prisha. His father was the Prisha, and his mother was married to the Prisha. So the Magen Avraham quotes this, that the Mrs. Prisha came up with the Chiddush, that on Erev Yontif, the women can say the bracha in advance. And he says, what do the women know about Paskan and Shailas? The women should stick to stitching and knitting and sewing and cooking, and they shouldn't paskin any shailas. And the minig olam is that we do paskin like the Mrs. Prisha. We don't paskin like the Magen Avraham. That the women who do say the bracha, Ashkenazic women who say the bracha at the end of Hadlokas Haneris on Erev Shabbos, but on Erev Yontav they say the bracha in advance. The common minig is like Mrs. Prisha, not like the Magen Avraham. So there's a machlek zemachab and a ramah. In Hilchas Hadlokas Haneris, in the beginning of Hilchas Shad Mechabes, says you always have to say the bracha over Las Yasim. So the women should recite the bracha L'Hardik Nesh Al Shabbos in advance of Hadlokas Haneris. And the Ramah says the meaning is based on the Bahag, just like the Bahag says Hadlokas Haneris is Kabbalah Tosefes Shabbos Bal Korchai. So one can go one step further and say that even just reciting the bracha is also they're reciting bracha on Hadlok Nesh Al Shabbos. If you cite the bracha before you light the candles, it's already Kabbalah Tosefes Shabbos. You can't light the candles. So they have in the biographies of Rabbi Zalman Meltzer that on his way, I think he went by boat. I think on the boat, when he was leaving Europe, coming to Eretz Yisrael, he told his wife, Eretz Yisrael, the Mara Da'asra is Rabbi Yosef Karo. The Ramah lived in Krakow in Poland. But Rabbi Yosef Karo lived in Eretz Yisrael. So we're moving to Eretz Yisrael now. Rabbi Yosef Karo is the Mara Da'asra. So from now on, you should really say the bracha L'hadlik Nesh Al Shabbos over Lasi Yosem. That's what they quote in the biography. I think Chacham Avadya has this. I think he heard this from the son of Rabbi Sazam. Rabbi Sazaman had passed away already. So he heard this from the son. And he quotes this in one of his tshuvas, and he says, Rabbi Sazam passed away, so I can't speak to them in person to check out what the details of the story are. But that's what he told his wife. And then what was the name of the Rosh Yeshiva in Etzion, who was there before Rabban Lichtenstein came? Rav Amital. So Rav Amital's son is a Rebbe in Shalavim. So he told me that just like he's a descendant, his mother was a granddaughter of Rabbi Sazalman Meltzer. Rav Amital's wife was a granddaughter of Rabbi Sazalman. So the Rav Amital told me that Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach once told him that when Rav Zalman came to Eretz Yisrael, just like he changed his wife's practice, that she should say the bracha l'hadlik nesh al Shabbos over Lasi Yosem, because Rav Yosef Karo is the Mara Da'asra of Eretz Yisrael, he changed this practice regarding the Tilas Yadayim as well. Because the Mechaber writes that you say the bracha over Lasi Yosem, you have to have clean hands and say the bracha on the Tilas Yadayim before you wash your hands. And the Ramah says that we follow the practice of the Taisus on Amid Beis, on Zayin Amid Beis. And Taisus justifies their practice, why they used to say the bracha la'achar asiyosam, after the Tilas Yadayim, and after being toivel in the mikveh. So Taisus justifies it. So the Ramah quotes that the minig is that one says the bracha after you wash your hands, before you dry your hands. So Rabbi Zalman at that time, just like he told his wife, she should stop saying the bracha l'achar asiyasim. She should say before, So he accepted upon himself also that they should say the Baruch on the Tilus Yadayim in advance of washing the Tilus Yadayim. What exactly does that mean? The Rabbi Yosef Karo is the more the Asra of Eretz Yisrael. There are a million and one machlokes in between the Mechaber and the Ramo in Shulchan Aruch. There are Arba Chelke Shulchan Aruch. So what do you mean? He's moving to Eretz Yisrael, is going to follow everything like the Sfardim? I don't think so. I don't think so. I think this din, he was never too happy about this din. This Rama, he was never too thrilled about. It's really in violation of the din of Ayvalasi Asam. So this one, he said, we're moving to Eretz Yisrael. He really should no longer hold this kula. You look in the Mishnah Brura, in Hilchas Natilus Yadayim, so in the Bir Halacha, he quotes Aran, he quotes Amrishanim, and say, Taisus justified their minig to say the bracha on Natilus Yadayim, la'achar asi yosam. But he says, if Taisus didn't require v'davka, you have to say the bracha la'achar asi yosam. It's not like the Ramor by Hadlokas Haneris, that he came up with a chumra that just like the Bahagas of the opinion Hadlokas Haneris, is Kabbalah Tasev Shabbos Bal Korchai, so to reciting the bracha is Kabbalah Tasev Shabbos Bal Korchai. And if you say the bracha, over Lasiyasim, you're not allowed to light the candles. So that's, you have to dafke say the bracha lachar asiyasim. But by Natila Sadayim, Tasha didn't say you dafke have to say lachar asiyasim. They justified their practice, they gave a whole justification. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Rishonim and say, if you're not looking for justifications, if you know your hands are clean, the more correct is that you should say the bracha Eivel Asi Asim. If you want to be lazy, you can say the bracha Lachar Asi Asim. But more correct still is to say the bracha Eivel Asi Asim. People don't realize the Mishnah Berurah reversed the Psak HaMakubal for centuries and practically every single page of Shulchan Aruch. For centuries, the Ashkenazim had been washing until the Sedaim and saying the bracha lachar asi yosam. And here he says that more correct is to do before. You should really follow the mechaber over here. Yeah, how did Taisus defend their practice of saying the bracha lachar asi yosam? So they discuss in the previous Taisus, lotzeis, ma'amascha lotzeis. So the Gemara says, the bracha that we recite, when you take the dalad minim on sukkahs, it says, Alakacht melechem ayomishim pri, it's hard of kapis tamar nafe tzabes v'arbi nochal. You take all the dalminim and you only say one bracha, anatilas lulav. What is that all about? So the Gemara in Sukkah says, because the lulav is the tallest of the dalminim, so we say the bracha anatilas lulav and it really covers all the four minim. I don't know what that means, but that's what the Loshon HaGemara is like that. Say the bracha anatilas lulav. So the Gemara says that bracha anatilas lulav is always going to be la'achar asiyasam, because mida'agbe nafakbe, once you picked up the dalaminim, you're yotzei ready. So maybe I'll say the bracha before I pick it up. So Taisus says, no, that'll be oiver the oiver. Why did the Gemara say, kol ha-mitzvus kulam levarach aleim, oiver la'asiyasam? The Gemara should have said kodim. So the answer is kodim means you should recite the bracha sometime prior to performing the mitzvah. Oiver means immediately before. And Tosis proves it from the Gemara in Menachos. The Gemara says, Tfilin, the Emasai Mevarach Aleihem. Tosis over here does not quote it. Tosis and the other Masechtas quotes it. The Gemara in Menachos has Tfilin, the Emasai Mevarach Aleihem. When do you say the Baruch? The Gemara says, Nishas Hanachasam Adshas Kshira. You have the Shalyad on your arm, you have the Shalosh on your head, you're about to tighten it to do the Hiduk. So that's over immediately before. If you're going to say the Baruch on Lohanich Tfilin, as you're taking out the bayushal yad from the tefillin zekel and you're putting it on your arm, that's too far in advance. That's over the over. I seem to remember Rav Soloveitchik Katatina, the Yekis have a practice when they say the bracha on the tzitzis. So they hold the talis in front of them, they stretch the hands out with the talis in front of them, they say the bracha, the sata b'tzitzis, and then they take the talis behind them and then they put it over their heads. So he thought that that's really over the over. They should say the bracha when the talis is behind them, almost placed on the head, about to be put on the head. That's Oivel Asiyasim, immediately before. You shouldn't say too long before. So that's why the Gemara says, the Gemara seems to be assuming you can't say the bracha before you picked up the Dalad Minim. That's Oivel the Oivel. That's too far in advance. You have to pick up, you have to hold the Dalad Minim already in your hand, and then you say the bracha. So once you hold it in your hand, Ragbe Nafepe. So it's a very Lachar Asiyasim. So Tosis outsmarted the Gemara. So Tosis gives you several eitzes what you can do to not violate Oiver the Oiver and still be Oyasios. So they give one suggestion to hold the Esrig with the Pitim down. And the Gemara says, if Apocha lo Yotzeba, you only Yotze, Tosis quotes the Gemara in Sukkim, you only Yotze if you hold the Dalaminim Keder Kedilosim, the way they grow from the ground. The original Pasuk is not by the Dalad Minim. The original Pasuk is by the Karshe HaMishkan. Atze Shitim Omdim. They took Atze Shitim and they made boards out of them the way they grew from the ground. They didn't make the boards by taking the tree upside down or sideways. It's Kederach Dilosam. So from Atze Shitim Omdim, Kederach Dilosam, we extrapolate from there that any other mitzvah that needs any something that grew from the ground, let's say an Aron Kodesh. There's no halacha Aron Kodesh has to be made from wood. Now they make Aronis HaKodesh made from wet metal, and it has a lock, like a safe, because they want to prevent the Ganavim from walking off with the safe at the Torah. So if the wood had been a din, that an Aron Kodesh must be made from wood, then you would have to use the wood, Keder Kedilosim, but there is no such din. What is the question that Poskim talk about at the Schach? Has to be made from Gidulei Karka. So why don't we insist on Keder Kedilosim at the Schach? That would be difficult. How are you going to put Gidulei Karka Keder Kedilosim? But you want it to be horizontal. You don't want it to be vertical. So the Poskim talk about that. How is it possible to have it Keder Kedilosim? And why don't we require Keder Kedilosim? The Bach and Shulchan Aruch talks about that. Or let's say when you bring Bikurim to the Beis HaMikdash, so Bikurim have to be Gidulei Karka. So do you have to, when you bring the Bikurim and you recite the Rami Aviravi and you do the Tenufa on the Bikurim, is there a din at the Bikurim, the Paris of the Bikurim have to be on the, has to be in a basket, a stowel. So does it have to be sitting in the basket the same way it grew from the ground, Keder Kedilosam? So the Pasuk can talk about that. They don't think so. Why not? The Gemara was extrapolating from the Pasuk Atzei Shitim Omdim, the Kol HaMitzvahs Kulam have to be Keder Kedilosam, not just Dalaminim Shebelulav. Why not apply it to the Havos HaBikurim? That's big questions. These are all good questions. You have to work on them. So again, so Tosfos suggests maybe you're holding all the Dalaminim, but it's still not Benag Benafik because you're holding the Esrig upside down. Or maybe, said Tosfos suggests, maybe you shouldn't pick up the Esrig, only pick up three out of the four. And it's not over the over because it's Lefanecho, it's right in front of you. Or Tosfos suggests maybe you should pick up all four, but you should have Kabbana Shalolot, since that's the Rashbam has that Chiddush. That's the Machlokes in the Rishonim. Many Rishonim agree with the Rashbam that even if you all mitzvahs ain't Tzvichas Kabbana, but you can't be Yotze Mitzvah Bal Korche. If the person picks up the Dalmini has Kabbana, but that cannot be Yotze. So many Rishonim agree with this Rashbam that you're not Yotze Bal Korche Shalodim. And the Beis Yosef in Arachayim quotes the Ra'or, a Baron Alevi who disagrees. He says, if the din is mitzvah, saint tzvichas kavana, so then you even yotze in the mitzvah, if you have kavana shalolotzes. You even yotze bal korcha. It's a difficult svara. But the Rebbe Kadega quotes it on the bottom of the page in Aruch Chaim. If you have kavana shalolotzes, that it's a machlekes. The Ra'or holds, the Beis Yosef quotes the Ra'or, even with kavana shalolotzes, you yotze bal korcha. And most assume like the Rashbam. So that's so the Balamor makes fun here. The Balamor makes fun of the Bali Atesis. They outsmarted the Gemara. The Gemara said the Ferish on Ardaf that Minag Bein Nafek Bei. So the Bracha on Dalad Minim is always recited La'achar Asiyosim. It's never recited over La'asiyosim. And the Bali Atesis outsmarted the Gemara. They gave a few suggestions how to be Yotzei over La'asiyosim. Yeah, it shouldn't be over the over. I mean, it's still over La'asiyosim. Yeah. I remember once a Svardi, I was once walking in the street when I was in high school. So you always used to walk to the bus. In order to take the bus, I went to MTA. So there was always a man hanging out the window and always said good morning to me. I thought he was a Nochri. I never realized he's a Yisrael. So then on Sukkot, my father davened in the early minyan and I took the Dalaminim. I was going to the bus to go to Yeshiva, to daven in the Yeshiva on Chalamot Sukkot. So the fellow asks me, he wants to bench Esrig. He wants to say the bracha. I didn't know he was Jewish. So I come into his house and he's holding the Esrig in the right hand and the lulav in the left hand. And he's holding the pitim up. So I said, no, you have to hold the pitim down. He looks at me. He was much older than me. He was in his 60s, 70s. He says, don't tell me. I know how to do the mitzvah. He holds the esrig in the right hand, the lulav in the left, and he says the bracha. Then he switches hands. That's how the Magen Avraham Kotzer Ben Hanana learns like that. The Gemara says, hafochai. The Gemara says, Tosfos quotes the Gemara Sukkah Daf Mem Beis. If hafochai, then you're not yoytze. So we learn hafocha means if you have the pitim down, the lulav is upside down, or the esrog, the hadas, something is upside down. Rabbeinu Hanana learns hafocha means, the Gemara says you have to hold the lulav in the right hand, the esrog in the left hand, because the lulav has three quarters of the mitzvah. The lulav has the hadasim and the harovis with it, and the esrog is only one quarter of the mitzvah. So the right, if a person is a righty, so you should hold three quarters of the mitzvah in the right hand. You should hold the lulav in the right hand, and the esrog in the left hand. So the Rabbeinu Hanan has a chiddush. If you hold the lulav in the left hand and the esrog in the right hand, you're not yetzer b'di'evet. That's why in Shulchan Aruch there's a machlokes if a person is a lefty, does he switch hands or not? So it's taken so seriously because of this Rabbeinu Hanan. Rabbeinu Hanan holds that if you held the lulav and the esrog in the incorrect hand, in the left hand instead of the right hand, you're not yetzer even b'di'evet. So that's why the Mishnah Berurah recommends that one is a lefty, he should do the mitzvah, hold the lulav in the left hand. That's three quarters of the mitzvah. He's a lefty, so that's his more important hand. And the esrog in the right hand, but then he should switch hands and shake lulav again to satisfy the other opinion that even a lefty should also hold the lulav in the right hand. And if you hold the lulav in the correct hand and the esrog in the incorrect hand, there's a shita of the Rabbeinu Hanan that you're not yet even b'di'evet. It's a wild shita. How can it be? But that's the Rabbeinu Hanan. Yeah. So the Balamor has this complaint against the Balei HaTosfos. They came up with the suggestions how to outsmart the Gemara. The Gemara says the bracha on Atilas Lulav La'acharas Enafet Be. And the Tosfos figured out how to even be, it won't be over the over, and it'll still be over Lasiyasim. It won't be Menag Benafet Be. So one of the suggestions that Tosfos gave, one suggestion was hold it with the pitim down. One suggestion, don't pick up the esrog, only pick up the lulav and have the esrog on the table in front of you. Third suggestion was have in mind not to be yotze. And the fourth suggestion was, no, it's still over, we follow the Gemara, it's still over Lasiyasim because you have to do the nanuim. But the Gemara said the nanuim are not miyakev. The Gemara said exactly, midag benafek ben means the nanuim are not miyakev. But still, the Rishonim assumed that Nanuim on the Dalam Minim is Alachatchila Deraisa. There's such a thing as a mitzvah Bishlei Musa and a mitzvah Shalom Bishlei Musa. Let's say a person, a married man dies, leaving no children, and he has a brother surviving him. So his wife needs Chalitza, either Chalitza or Yibum. So when you need Chalitza, so there are three parts to the Chalitza. You have Kriyas HaPsukim. The Yibama says, Mein Yibama, you have to come to the presence of a Bezen. The Yavama says, "Me'en Yavama lohakim shem liYisrael oYova Yabim." He doesn't want to do Yibam, and then the Yavam says, "Lochavatzi lekachta," and then so that's the Kriyas HaPsukim back and forth, and then she takes off chalitza sasandal. She takes off the shoe from the right foot of the Yavam, and she throws it away, and then she's supposed to do rikika. She spits on the floor in front of the Yavam, and then she says, "Kochi asolish hashaliyim nesbeisachiv." So the Gemara has a machlokes hatanaim, and we paskin three different opinions. We paskin the kriyas hapsukim is not miyakev in the mitzvah, and the rikika is not miyakev. The only part that's miyakev is the chalitza sasandal. So Tosfos says, how come you have a lechatchilim b'di'evet? Lechatchil, you should do three things b'di'evet, it's good without. So that's Tosfos has a klal in the end of Maseches Nida. In a mitzvah, it's shach to talk about a mitzvah b'shlei musa and a mitzvah shalom b'shlei musa. So the mitzvah b'shlei musa is you do all three parts. You do the chalitz hasandal, the rikika, and the kriyas hapsukim. And the mitzvah shalom b'shlei musa, as long as you did the chalitz hasandal, even though you didn't do the rikika, even though you didn't do the kriyas hapsukim, you still yetzer the mitzvah b'di of it. Or let's say you have tchelus and lovan. There's a mitzvah b'shlei musa. If you only have lovan without tchelus, that's a mitzvah shalom b'shlei musa. So mitzvah shalom b'shlei musa. We have a lot of things like that. There's a mitzvah b'shlei musa and a mitzvah shalom b'shlei musa. So that's what the Mishnah says. The hadasim and the arabis have to be three tvachim tall. the lulav has to be gimel tvachim ukedelin anea, four tvachim. Has to be three tvachim, the same as the hadasim and arovis, plus an extra tefach, kedelin anea bo. But the nanua is not miyakev, but the ability to deem, to do ninua is miyakev. You have to have, the lulav has to be four tvachim, an extra tefach, that the ninua should be noticeable on the lulav. So you see, that's what the Rishonim say in that Gemara. You see that ninua is a lachatchila deraisa. That's the kiyum ha-mitzvah bishlemusa is the kichas lulav with the ninua. True minag be'nafek be'ivum without ninua, but lachatchila you should do ninua. So that's what Tosfos says. It's still called over lasiyosam because you weren't fully yotze. You were only yotze in the mitzvah partially. So Tosfos carries this over with respect to netilas yadayim because there is a Gemara in Sota davdala lamebeis orech alechem below niguv yadayim kilo orech alechem tomei. In the next place, dimam aschalala tefila and zayin lamebeis. After a person does netilas yadayim, his hands are sopping wet. He shouldn't go right away and hold on to the sandwich and eat it. His hands are wet. Touching the sandwich with the wet hand. So the Gemara says, Orechel lechem below niguv yadayim, if he doesn't dry his hands before he touches the bread, ki lechel lechem tomi. So Tosfos claims that drying the hands is a gemar of the mitzvah of netilas yadayim. So if you only wash the hands and you didn't dry them, you mekayim a mitzvah shelo bishlei musa. Just like wearing tzitzis without chelas, and just like, let's say, you bring a korban chatas in the Beis HaMikdash, you're supposed to do zrik on dalet karnas amizbech. If you're only going to do zrik on one karen, that's machlokes bisham and bisilo. The name of the perik is perik beishamai in zvachim. So we pass like bisilo. Usually, ruba de ruba, we pass like bisilo against beishamai. So we pass and only one matana is me'akev. If you didn't do any zrik at all, and any of the karnas amizbech, then you're not yotzei. But if you did one zrika, but you have it, it's good. So why do you have to do lechatchila for zrikas? That's a mitzvah bishlei musa. If you do a mitzvah shalom bishlei musa, the Mishnah says that's an example of altigra. If a person, the Beis HaLevi has a whole essay about this in the Chelek Aleph of the Tshuvas, a person will wear a tefillin, he only likes Parshas Kadesh. Doesn't say Shema V'yam Shema Kadesh V'yokir Yachor. He only likes one of their four parshas. He only has one parsha. That's not Baltigra. So he said, he tainas, Rashi and Chumash said that's Baltigra. The Beis HaLevi presents the Shagas Aryeh's opinion. That's not Baltigra. It's just not Yotzei the Mitzvah of Tefillin, because it's Ma'akeh B'di'evit. When would it be Baltigra? If you have a Korban Chatos and B'di'evit, the din is like B'silah, that if you do one Zrika, it's Kosher B'di'evit. But you did the mitzvah, lechatchila, and the way it's supposed to only be good, b'di'evit. So that's a violation of baltigra. Let's say the Beis HaLevi gives another marshal. A person has tchelas available, and he doesn't avail himself of the tchelas. He only wears tzitzis with lavan. So then he says, it would have been better not to wear tzitzis at all, because if he doesn't wear a beged of four corners, he's not mechuyev in tzitzis. You're not mechuyev to wear a beged with, if you're wearing it, the mitzvah is a conditional mitzvah. The mitzvah ala tanai. If you're wearing a four-cornered beged, then you have to put in tzitzis. So if tchelis is available, then you're only yotze the mitzvah shalom bishlei musa by putting in lavan without tchelis. So you're in violation of baltigra. So it would have been better he shouldn't wear the whole garment in the first place. The same way, let's say, a woman will perform the chalitza. And she, on principle, she doesn't want to say the psukim, she doesn't want to do the rekika. It's beneath her dignity to spit on the floor. So then she's in violation of baltigra. Whenever there's a mitzvah that you can do bishlei musa, let's say you can do netilas lulav with nanuim or without nanuim. So the person decides he doesn't want to bother to do with nanuim. He's over on baltigra. Because whenever you get to the mitzvah b'di'evid, but it's only b'di'evid, l'chatchila shouldn't have done it like that. So then there's an isur of baltigra. So that's what Tosfos justifies their practice of saying the bracha after netilas yadayim, before you dry your hands. So they justified, they say, just like netilas lulav, since even though you already did the mitzvah, but you didn't fulfill the mitzvah bishlei musa, there's still a little bit over lasiyas. Still a little bit over lasiyas. Okay, we'll leave that tomorrow. Maybe we will continue some more. This is a very famous topic of Birchas HaMitzvah. I'm sure Sham Rebbe is going to spend the whole year just on Birchas HaMitzvah. We will not spend the whole year. Okay. We'll be tomorrow. we'll have a regular shiur at 1:45. Have a nice day, everyone, and prepare for